Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon Central Time, and there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Here we are again, Connecting Faith up and running, and appreciate your company. Glad to have you listening to Faith Radio, and as we seek to do on a daily basis here in Connecting Faith, is look for ways that we can talk about the issues of the day, apply biblical principles to those, and help connect faith to life. And Ryan Thomas there at the controls, as per normal.
Hello, sir.
And Grace Rafe at the phones. I'm Neil Stavem. Today's topic, we're going to talk about work, the changing world of work. And I know this has been on your bucket list. You've had the thought of actually being fired. That's something that you're looking forward to someday?
I know that sounds really strange,
yeah.
But I've always wondered what it would feel like to be fired.
Yeah.
And so that's on there. I don't really have any explanation for that, but it's the truth.
I don't think that we'd probably want to do that on the air today, but it might make for an interesting part of the program. We'll see, though, if that happens. I wasn't going to say when that happens, but if that happens, our guest today can help you.
Oh,
and
excellent.
So you'll want to take notes today.
Great.
We're excited to welcome back Dan Miller. Dan's been on the show a number of times, and we've just appreciated our discussions over the years. He's president of 48 Days, LLC, and he specializes in creative thinking for increased personal and business success. He believes that meaningful work blends our natural skills and abilities, our unique personality traits, and our dreams and passions. And Dan is active in helping individuals redirect careers, evaluate new income sources, and achieve balanced living. And all those would probably be helpful to you if you were to be terminated here.
Not
in today's show. But anyway, Dan has written a number of books, including 48 Days to the Work That You Love, No More Mondays. He and his son wrote a book together a few years back called Wisdom Meets Passion, When Generations Collide and Collaborate. And Dan's now 46-plus years of marriage, up to 12 grandchildren. So,
hi.
Dan, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Well, thank you. I am delighted to be your guest today. You guys have already laid the groundwork for some really interesting things we could talk about.
And it's basically all about helping Ryan because apparently he needs it. But I do want to start with, though, just the other day, I heard a report on the news that said something we've talked about on past shows, that the world of work is changing. Many more contract employees. Talk a little bit about the implications of that trend.
Well, that is a very clear trend. We're rapidly approaching the time when only 50% of the American workforce will be employees. Now, I did not say we're going to have 50% unemployment. That's not true at all. Unemployment is at a very reasonable rate even now. But the work models are changing. So rather than being traditional employees, people have terms like consultants, contingency workers, independent contractors, electronic immigrants, temps, entrepreneurs, the list goes on and on. Just defining new work models. So if people recognize there are new work models, that opens up a lot of possibilities and broadens the possibilities rather than shrinks them.
We probably, our first thought, though, is we tend to sort of look at fear and insecurity, right? When things are a little more free and unstructured, perhaps.
You know, that's a great way to frame it because it really sets the stage for, I mean, we want to unpack that a little bit, fear and insecurity. Fear and insecurity comes from feeling like we aren't in control. But now here's an interesting way that this develops. When we talk to people who have been extremely successful financially, people who are decamillionaires and more, they view that concept of fear and insecurity in entirely a reverse way from the common person on the street. Most people assume, if I can just get that job, I'm going to have a paycheck every Friday, and I'm going to have security. as opposed to, what if I get a little hot dog stand because I like a particular brand of hot dogs, and I'm going to park it downtown here in Franklin, Tennessee, where I live, and I'm going to have 276 people come by every day and buy my hot dogs. Now, people who have been really, really successful see the second scenario as secure. They see the first scenario as risky. That being, they're saying, if I go in the morning to a place to work, and I know that one person there can put me on the street, fulfill Ryan's dream of being fired, put him on the street before noon, they see that as really risky. Whereas if you do something that really blends your passions, your abilities, so you're selling hot dogs or whatever it happens to be, my goodness, you get 276 customers, 276 people that have to tell you they don't want to do business with you anymore to put you out of business. If one tells you they don't want to do business with you anymore, it's no big deal. You just replace that one. So we have to reframe this idea of where security really exists, because it does not exist in the traditional workplace. That is an illusion that is deceiving a lot of people.
You know, you mentioned a bit ago that, you know, the unemployment rate is moderate. I guess, you know, if you're in that category, though, it seems more crisis than moderate. Unpack that a little bit for us.
Yeah, it does. Obviously, if you're one of those who are unemployed, then it certainly seems like a crisis. But there are opportunities all around us, and I don't mean to make this sound like a walk in the park at all. I don't want to diminish the trauma that comes from not having a paycheck this week. But we have to look at, what is the world asking for? I mean, I've made an amazing life for myself just listening to what people are asking for and helping to provide solutions for that. We can all do that. We all have something that we bring to the table that has value. We may be able to do that in a way that we've not done before. So, I mean, I'm looking out here on our property right now, and we've got a yard crew here. Well, if somebody says, boy, I really do a great job with flowers. I know how to plant. I understand horticulture, when things ought to have fertilizer put in them and be nurtured and all that. I need to just go find a job. And they just can't find a job. And they're convinced the economy is bad and we're all in trouble. What if somebody just showed up here to my property and says, wow, I see you've got a lot of flower beds. I'd be honored to take care of those. What about so many possibilities for just taking the skills that you have and putting legs on them directly? We don't really need to wait for gatekeepers. We don't need to wait for that clear map. We just need to find new ways to engage with people, offering them what it is that we do of value.
Is that
in the same way, Neil, let me just add this. I apologize about interrupting. But let's take an example that people may understand a little better. Let's say that somebody is a graphic designer. So they're sitting in a cubicle somewhere. They have a traditional job, and they're being paid $20 an hour. And they say, wow, you know, I really feel vulnerable here. They're downsizing. I've heard that we may lose our jobs. And so that person is a very talented graphic designer, says, I'm going to go find five companies that are not big enough to hire me full-time but could use me one day a week. That's a real common example of what I call a very soft transition. Still doing the same work, but the model has changed a little bit. And people are moving into that and finding that they can double and triple their income, have more time flexibility than they ever dreamed possible, still doing the work that they're very competent in doing.
It's interesting you made the reference that we don't have to wait for gatekeepers anymore. Is that a change in the way that one pursues, you know, finding work and revenue streams?
It really is. I mean, if we look historically, we're in a nation where we had a lot of industry and a lot of what we would call production work, where you would do something in the factory, and at night when you go home, they keep the means of production there. You don't have access to that. But look at the kind of work we do today. If somebody's doing graphic design or computer programming or websites or publicity or marketing or sales, well, you can go on and on. Most of the work we do today is knowledge work, not production work. And guess what? When we go home at night, we take the means of production with us because it's between our own two ears. So we're extremely mobile. Nobody can hold a big stick over us anymore because they don't have that kind of control. We can take our skills and go anywhere we want to go in a moment's notice.
So should we be thinking like entrepreneurs all the time? I mean, is that something that we ought to just change our mindset?
Well, sometimes entrepreneur scares people. They think, boy, I've got to be, you know, Richard Branson or Oprah. Not at all. I mean, you can be very introverted and shy, as an example, and still be very successful in a new work model, whether we call that entrepreneur or something else. But we just have to take responsibility for the work that we do. That is a shift. You know, we don't just hang up our hat and then get a paycheck on Friday. We have to take responsibility. In today's environment, a person is interviewing for a job, not just the day before they get hired, every day thereafter. A person is interviewing to maintain their position because companies are saying, we can't afford to pay somebody just because they show up. Unless they continue to prove their value here, we do have to let them go. And we've seen that played out hundreds and thousands of times.
Dan Miller is my guest. He has been a guest in the past here on Connecting Faith. We always enjoy having him back. You can find out more about his work and his writings, his coaching, his advice on the website 48days.com. That's 48days.com. He's written several books, including 48 Days to the Work You Love. We'll ask him here in a moment if it's if 48 days is still the right amount of time. No More Mondays, so one of his books. He's also written one with his son called Wisdom Meets Passion, When Generations Collide and Collaborate. And we want to talk a little bit about wisdom and passion, our natural skills and abilities, and you know, whether we can make a living pursuing our passions, all that coming up in more. We'd love to have you join the conversation, too. It might be that maybe you have a college graduate in the house that's just hanging out now, going through your cupboards, and you'd like to help them find a job. You can join with us and ask your question to Dan today. It's 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. More in a moment.
Faith Radio is great news that lasts.
He's not just the God, the Lord Almighty. He's the God of Jacob. Did you ever wonder why that's in here? Do you remember who Jacob was of the three patriarchs? He's the not very good one. Jacob's the guy that was always messing with people, lying to people, manipulating. But you know what? It's a message of grace. He's saying, I'm the God of Jacob. I show up for manipulators and schemers. When you're a Jacob, God says, I'll show up for you.
Real truth, real hope, Faith Radio.
A swimmer was caught in a strong current and close to drowning. Suddenly, a life jacket was thrown within reach. He grabbed the life jacket and it saved his life. Sometimes we feel like we're drowning in the problems of life. Maybe it's financial, marital, or job related. Where can we find hope? Jesus is our rescuer and wants us to reach out to him. Learn more. Call 888-NEED-HIM or chat with us live at needhim.org.
Talking about what we do and how that can hopefully produce income for us and how we can use our natural skills and abilities, our personality traits, our dreams and passions, how they all come together. Dan Miller has been coaching on those areas and helping individuals to redirect careers and to come up with new income sources, and has been a writer and actually has a podcast regularly, which you can find out about online at 48days.com. 48 Days to the Work You Love, No More Dreaded Mondays, Wisdom Meets Passion, some of his books. Dan, I want to talk a little bit about the idea of skills, abilities, and passions. I think people still are probably, even though you know, we know that that makes sense. Maybe in today's tight economy, you say, well, I don't know if I can just fully pursue my dream because what I really need is a job.
Yeah, and we want to make sure that it doesn't have to be seen as a compromise, as an either or. No matter what the times are, you can still take that deep breath and say, how does God uniquely gifted me? What are my unique skills and abilities? What are my personality tendencies? How do I relate best to other people? what are those things that keep showing up as recurring passions of mine? And we look at how can we blend those together. All it means is that we kind of take that breath in first instead of so quickly looking for a solution that may in fact be a Band-Aid solution. And a lot of people get caught in that. Boy, I need a paycheck by Friday. So boom, I hear they're hiring down the street. My Uncle Harry has a job at his company. They just go do that. And they realize that's not a solution. It's just a Band-Aid. So it does require just taking a deep breath. But this is not something that's going to, you know, add 6 months to your job search at all. I mean, it can add a day if you're productive at doing that. But I tell people all the time, 85% of the process of having the confidence of proper direction in your career comes from looking inward first. Then 15% is the application. And frankly, that's the easy part. But a lot of people don't take the time to really identify, what is unique about me? What is my purpose? What are my passions? What is my calling, my mission? Those are worthy questions, certainly for us as believers to ask those. And confident, what happens is that knowing that gives us more confidence and more attractiveness in the marketplace. If somebody goes out looking just for a job because they need a paycheck, it's transparent. Everybody smells it coming a mile away. And it just doesn't work well. But if somebody goes on and says, wow, this is what I really do well, this is how God has uniquely gifted me, that makes a person very attractive. And there are companies that are waiting to talk to you if you're that clear on what it is you do well.
Dan, I mentioned before the program, I have an intern who was offering some questions for today's show. And one of hers was, as a young woman says, what if what we love to do won't satisfy our financial needs?
Well, that's a kind of a theoretical question, but you could give me any example, and I'm confident we could figure out. Now, I know if you, you know you love staring at your navel. I mean, maybe we need to go a little deeper than that. But, I mean, I don't care if it's growing dandelions. I would rather help you be successful growing dandelions if that's your passion than to try to talk you into being a computer programmer because we know they get paid well. It just doesn't work that way. It's easier to make money. It's easier to be responsible in providing for our families if we engage the very best that God has put in us rather than just trying to do the expected thing, trying to be responsible. I know it may seem counterintuitive. I mean, I'm here at the place we call the sanctuary in my property. It's a converted barn on our property. And as I am interviewing with you, Neil, there's a whole room full out here of women who are artists. Well, we know what artists are told. Yeah, that's fine. You know, you can piddle around. But, of course, they're starving artists. Artists can't make any money. Well, I could walk through the door here and put on the radio with us some ladies who have proven that to be dramatically wrong, because if that's their passion, people are drawn to that. People will pull out their checkbooks for those paintings, and they can do extremely well. And I've had the privilege of working with people where we've pursued some pretty strange kind of things over the years, and yet if that's their passion, we find them thriving and doing some remarkable things to bless not only their family but others as well financially, because it just opens that channel for God's blessings to flow through us if we really have engaged our talents and passions.
If we're in a work situation where we're engaging our talents and passions, should we expect stress, or is it just the sort of, I mean, the healthy challenges of work? Talk a little bit about, should that be a sign for us?
Well, I'm asked that sometimes when I work with people as a coach. You know, Dan, are you living the life that we're talking about here? You know, is it really that enjoyable? And I tell them, you know, come see me. You know, come follow me around for a couple of days. I mean, I really don't do anything that I don't enjoy doing. Now, I'm an author, speaker, and coach at this point. Now, I have to quickly say, you know, I don't do everything myself. I mean, I have a wonderful team of people whose skills complement mine and supersede mine in a lot of areas. So if there's, even in a small enterprise like this, there may be 20 or 25 things that need to be done, I probably do two or three of those pretty well. That's where I want to spend my time. So I'm in my sweet spot when I'm writing, when I'm thinking, creating, engaging with bright people like you in conversations like this. That's what I do. I don't do the accounting. I don't order supplies. I don't set up registration for our events. There are a whole lot of things that I don't do. Again, that's not just being selfish. It's understanding what is it that I do well and organizing my work life so I spend the most time doing those things that I most enjoy. I mean, certainly there are going to be conceivably things. I mean, I'm trying to think of something that would be a negative in what I do. Are there stresses? I suppose there are, but when you're really working in your passion, you can handle a whole lot that other people would see as stress, but you handle it because it's all part of the bigger picture of something you really enjoy.
You know, you're talking about sort of being in your sweet spot. It seems like there's, you know, been a lot of discussion maybe in corporations about, well, do we prop up our weaknesses or do we build on our strengths? I mean, you know, if we're in a job setting right now where there's a lot of things we have to do, but we maybe don't do all of them well, do we just need to refocus and just spend our time on what we love to do or like to do or can do easily?
Yes. But that may not be the answer you expected. We have a lot of training. I mean, I use sometimes kind of a metaphor, certainly not original with me, but I've modified it over the years, about the animals got together and decided they're going to have a school for their offspring. So the first day of school, you know, the little pig, the chicken, the cow, the horse, the bear go off to school. And, of course, Mr. and Mrs. Duck send off a little Donald Duck to school. Well, Donald Duck's a great swimmer. That's what ducks do. But after being in school a couple weeks, you know, they wanted him to learn to run, to jump, to climb trees. Well, he didn't do those things very well. But after trying to do those, he ends up with webbed feet that are so sore that now he can't even swim very well. I mean, that happens a lot. People spend time in their weaknesses, and they end up being mediocre at a lot of things. I mean, John Maxwell in his leadership training says, you know, spend 85% of your time doing what it is you do really well. I mean, 15%, you know, learning new things, and maybe 5% on your weaknesses. But don't focus on your weaknesses. You'll spend a lifetime feeling defeated. I am horrible at accounting kind of things, details in general. You know, I like the big picture. I like to start things. I'm not a good maintainer. Well, I know that about myself, but instead of beating myself up and saying, well, I really need to take an accounting course, I need to understand QuickBooks, not at all. I've got a wonderful lady. She loves doing that stuff. I can't understand why, but she does. What a delight to have her come in 3 hours do what it would take me a week to do. I'm just going to let her do it. She's excellent, so I can stay focused on what I do well. I think that's a better plan.
Are God-given gifts, spiritual gifts, different than our passions? And, you know, should one take priority over our lives?
Yeah, that's a great question, but I don't think we need to artificially separate those. These kind of all go into the same melting pot. A lot of it is just terminology. And when we talk about spiritual gifts or talents, passions, you know, tugs of our heart, I mean, those things can kind of go into the same hat. And here's the thing. I think there is a lot of coordination of those. Too often I hear from Christians who are saying, well, I really love doing this, but, you know, I'm sure that must not be God's will for me. And they assume that God's will is something really tedious and hard and, you know, a sacrifice. That must be God's will. They mistrust what their heart is telling us. Well, the scripture says, you know, delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Why do we mistrust the very way that God wired us as being indicators of what we would do really well? So I really embrace what somebody describes as their natural tendencies, their passions, how they're wired. Let's look at all those, bring those together. It puts you in your sweet spot where you can be the very best that God designed you to be. And I see way too many people who have pulled out of that, and they're trying to perform in something that they don't do well, thinking that they're being godly, and they and everybody around them is miserable.
Some great practical helps still to come here as we talk more with Dan Miller about what it means to be, you know, fully alive in your work and doing what God has put you here to do. We've got some copies. We'll sign you up for copies of some of Dan's books, 48 Days to the Work You Love, or No More Mondays, or Wisdom Meets Passion. You can call in and sign up for that and ask a question as well, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or if it's more convenient, you can go to our website, myfaithradio.com, then click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link there, and send us your question there, and we'll get to it on the other side of this break. Dan Miller is an author, speaker, coach, and is giving us some great insight today on what it means to understand our skills and abilities in the world of work. So give us a call. Join the conversation, 877-933-2484. Finding the work that God has called us here to do, and to do meaningful work, to use the abilities and the skills and the passions that we have and those God-given dreams and how we do that. Dan Miller has been coaching on that for a number of years, helping individuals redirect careers, evaluate new income sources, achieve balanced living. He believes that a clear sense of direction can help us become all that God designed us to be, and he's written about it in several great books, 48 Days to the Work You Love, No More Mondays, Wisdom Meets Passion. He wrote with his son, When Generations Collide and Collaborate, and we'll talk maybe a little bit about that as well. You can hear his podcast or see a number of the materials that he has available on his website, 48days.com. Dan, I know you do a lot of coaching. I'm curious if there's maybe one thing or two things that people haven't been doing that they should have been doing before they come to see you. I assume that by the time people come to see you, they're maybe they're in a mess or whatever. But just what could they be doing, before they come to see the coach?
Yeah, great question. This is a constant, ongoing journey. Finding what we do well, finding an opportunity to do work that's meaningful and profitable is not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing process. So what happens with a lot of people is they're in something and they get complacent. They just get comfortable with the status quo, and so they just continue. And all of a sudden, 10 years have passed, and they've lost touch with the realities of the workplace, and they've lost some of their marketability. I mean, I worked with a gentleman recently who was a chief financial officer of a major corporation. His base pay was $375,000. He'd been there for 26 years, and then they decided, wow, we could get somebody and pay him half as much at this point because he's been here so long. We kept raising his pay and let him go. He came into me, and I assumed that because he was in a high-level position, compensated like that he'd be really sharp. We'd just redirect him a little bit, and he'd be ready to go. He was dead in the water. His statement to me was, Dan, for 26 years I've had head down, pencil up. As a financial person, all he was doing was working the books, and he had totally lost touch of how technology has changed and how the workplace has changed. So what somebody can do to keep themselves marketable is to any given day know exactly what it is they have as marketable skills, what it is they do that's unique and has value. That's a real key to keeping yourself alert so that you're never going to be vulnerable when change comes, as it will.
Dan, you mentioned earlier about, we were talking about passions and dreams. It's not either or, but said 85% is looking in first. What does that look like? Because we had a question about how do we set ourselves up to be creative in the brainstorming area? I mean, is there maybe a framework to help us, make a good day or two of that?
Sure. It really is. There are three critical areas that I encourage people to identify. One is, what are your skills and abilities? What is it that you do well? Not just what you have the ability to do, but what you enjoy doing. There's got to be something. By the time somebody is 25 or 30 years old, there ought to be a whole lot of things that they can draw from and start to see more clearly. What are the things that really fit me well, that I have the ability to do? Then the second area is personality traits. How do you relate to other people? Are you real outgoing? Always the party person, center of attention? That's fine. We can utilize that. That fits well in some occupational directions. Are you more introverted? Are you better with things and ideas? Perhaps not really that great with people at all? Those are not things just to be overcome. Again, stretch yourself out. It's identifying what is unique about you, the more you understand that, the more confidence we can have about a proper kind of position. And then the third area that really gets ignored a lot is that values, dreams, and passions. I mean, in the last couple of years, Neil, as you know and you kind of alluded to, there's been a whole lot of people that have lost their jobs. Many of those, it's been an unexpected, unwelcome event. But you know what? For a lot of call, it woke up a dream that had been pushed under the carpet 20 years ago, and all of a sudden they realized, wow, now's the time I need to put legs on that dream. And a lot of people did just that. So a lot of times, even though it's traumatic, breaking that cycle of sameness is a new opportunity to become more focused, more in line with how God has gifted and prepared and positioned us. And that's the other thing. I mean, we change. I mean, people, we used to take pride in somebody having been to the same company for 20 years. In today's marketplace, that can be a red flag. Where a company looking in saying, oh my goodness, you know, did they never change? Did they never grow? Did they never recognize new opportunities? It can actually work against you. So just that looking in, skills and abilities, personality traits, values, dreams, and passions, somebody can do that no matter what position they're in at this point, and doing that will give you a renewed confidence for what your best direction is.
That, I think, ties in with a question from Nadine. She's listening in Brooklyn Park on line one, and a couple-part question. Nadine, you're on with Dan Miller. Go ahead.
Hi, Dan. Thank you for your wonderful insight and wisdom. I have two questions. My first question is, what if you're wanting to be an entrepreneur or go into your own business, but just the finances you don't have are credit worthy to do your own startup? And then also just finding that passion and ideas within you, or not duplicating stuff that people are already out there doing?
Yeah, great questions, Nadine, both of those. The first one, not having the finances to do something on your own. It used to be 20 years ago that when we talked about having your own business, we imagined going to the bank and getting a $350,000 small business loan, and you open a restaurant, a hardware store, a bowling alley. But today, that's just not a necessity. Most of the best opportunities that have really big financial opportunities don't require initial capital, a lot of times not at all. 69% of all businesses that are being started today require less than $10,000. 24% of all businesses being started today require zero in capital. I mean, just think about that for a minute. We could start with very simple things. If you wanted to wash windows, where you could go out and make effectively sometimes $50 to $60 an hour, swing by Walmart and spend $5 on a bucket and a squeegee. I mean, you can get started that quickly. But even if we look at things that are a little more sophisticated, I mean, if you want to do something online, I mean, you could start by cleaning out your attic, putting things on eBay, and maybe come up with $1,000. Go out and purchase some other things. You may understand silver sells really well, and so you buy silver, garage sales and estate sales. Or you may understand books, and you start getting some books for 25 cents a piece and put those up. But you can walk into so many businesses today without any significant capital at all. The last business I started early this year, I put in $1,000 initially. After 30 days, I took my $1,000 back out again. That was the entirety of the financial startup capital. That wasn't really all we required. I just put it in so we'd have it there for incidentals. And that's a business that'll generate over $200,000 for me this year. I mean, we're well on track to do that and more. It doesn't require that much money. Now, the second part of your question, Nadine, and important as well, what if it's already being done? That's great. If you do something that's never been done before, there's probably a reason it hasn't, and the process of educating people that they need it takes too long. You can get wealthy by simply doing something that's already being done, but do it 10% better or provide added value. When Domino's got in the pizza business, we would think, well, we've already got Little Caesars, Pizza Hut, Papa John's, and all. So surely you have to sell pizza cheaper or make a better pizza. They didn't focus on either one of those. They simply guaranteed 30-minute delivery, an added bonus to a very common product, and it made millionaires all across the country.
Simple. It does take a little thinking, and I guess... Should you be afraid of maybe giving away your idea if you're in some sort of maybe entrepreneurial startup group or something?
No. You should give away your idea freely. There is more risk in not sharing your idea and not recognizing things that may be challenges than there is the benefit that you'll gain from sharing your idea. Here's the deal. I mean, I have ideas shared with me every day. I'm in a wonderful position, having lots and lots of ideas. People don't need to worry about me stealing their idea. I am way too busy. If you come to me with the next frisbee or hula hoop, I will be thrilled and wish you well in doing that. People are very busy in the lives they already have. It takes a lot of work and effort to bring an idea to life. If it's your idea, you're the only one that's likely to carry through. And I encourage people to share your idea with everybody that gets within 3 feet of you. You'll learn things. You'll get helpful resources if people connect with you. Share, share, share. Tell everybody. That's the best way to launch a new idea.
Dan, we have a question on email. Someone who was asking about how do you discover your passion if you've been told that, you know, maybe you can't do anything meaningful in your life. I don't know the background, but, I mean, there's probably a lot of self-talk that we need to change if we've had a difficult, maybe, childhood.
Yes. Yeah. And there's certainly a lot of stories out there. As you mentioned, my son Jared and I wrote a book called Wisdom Meets Passion, and so I deal with this area a lot. Dan, I don't know my passion. But we sometimes assume that passion is something that just comes to us in a flash of light. You know, we all want that road to Damascus experience. Boom, here it is. It usually doesn't happen that way. And passion really is more developed than it is discovered. So passion is developed by being in the game. You can't find your passion with inactivity or continuing to just have the sameness in your life. You've got to drive a new way to work tomorrow. Read a book that you haven't read before. Go to a concert you would not otherwise go to. Travel somewhere that you haven't been before. You know, talk to people. Those are the kind of things that will stimulate your creativity, and you find something, think, wow, I'd like to try this. Try it. Get involved in it. Michael Jordan, I'm sure, didn't wake up and just say, oh, my passion is basketball. He just kept doing it, kept doing it, kept doing it. Wow, he got a little better. Gee, he could do a great jump shot, outshoot the other guys. Passion is developed by doing something really well over a period of time. So the main thing is don't get caught on the sidelines. Get in the game. That's why I'm really tolerant of kids who just get out of college, you know, and doing a variety of things. You know, it can be traveling, working at Taco Bell, I don't care. It's part of the clarification process. We got to value that part of the journey instead of thinking that we're going to, in a vacuum, identify what our passion is and not do anything but that the rest of our lives.
Good words from Dan Miller, author of several books, including 48 Days to the Work You Love, No More Mondays, Wisdom Meets Passion. He wrote with his son that when generations collide and collaborate. He's president of 48 Days LLC, does speaking and coaching on careers and income streams and balanced living. And you can find out more about him on the website 48days.com. We'll talk more in a moment. And if you have a question, we have some time for another question or two at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Or you can drop something on email, connecting with us online. It's myfaithradio.com, and then the Connecting Faith show page. More in just a moment.
On Thursday's Faith Radio Mornings, Leslie Vernick is a licensed clinical social worker who has her own private counseling practice and more than 20 years of experience counseling Christians from a biblical worldview. She'll join us again to share some insights on how to honor God through our relationships.
At 7:40, we'll talk about the fact that May is National Foster Care Month, and we'll talk with Katie Overstreet. Katie is the program director of Focus on the Family's Adoption and Orphan Care Initiative, and she'll share about the impact foster parents have had around the world.
Set your alarm for 6 a.m. Thursday.
Are you new to Faith Radio? Have you been listening for a long time? We'd love to get better acquainted. And to do that, we've designed something very special with you in mind. It is the free Faith Radio Welcome Packet. It tells you a little bit about Faith Radio, who we are, what we believe, and what we're hoping to accomplish in the Upper Midwest and around the world through the Internet. It's yours free for the asking. It is our new Welcome Packet at myfaithradio.com.
Glad to have connected with Dan Miller again on Connecting Faith, president of 48 Days, LLC. He works as a life coach, a career coach, helping redirect careers, evaluate income sources, achieve balanced living, and helping us understand our skills and abilities, our personality traits, our dreams and passions, 48 Days to the Work You Love, one of his books, No More Mondays, Wisdom Meets Passion. You can sign up for a copy of one of his books here. We'll do a little drawing here later today, and you can be a part of that with a phone call at 877-933-2484. A caller wants to know of some suggestions for working from home. Dan, any ideas there?
Yes. Once you identify just a unique talent that you have, it's just never been easier to engage that. So if it's doing graphic design or developing logos for people, or if it's showing moms how to save money when they go to the grocery store, or if it's doing wood sculptures, or if it's knowing, I've got a gentleman who I talked to earlier today who buys cameras on eBay in bulk, not big investments, but buys a box of them and then sells them individually on Amazon. Well, he makes about $100,000 a year doing that. I mean, there's so many things like that. And then I have a little resource put together after having so many questions from moms about how can I be a primary caregiver for my children and still create income. I've got a little list of 48 low or no cost business ideas just to help stimulate people's thinking about things they can do. And I don't know the situation. The first thing you do is you don't just pull an idea out of a book. You look inward again. What is it you already enjoy and know about? What is it people are asking you about? Those are the easiest kind of things to leverage and build into a real viable income stream.
Are there some tips about how we determine maybe transferable skills? Many times we may need to, I guess that's the trend now, that there are lots of different career paths. By the time someone's, put in 20 years, they've probably had, six or seven different jobs. So how do we work at transferable skills and understanding those?
Yeah, and that's very important. I mean, the average work today is about 2.2 years in length. The average length of time on a job for somebody in their 20s is 13 months. So they better understand transferable skills. You can't just keep starting over. But if we identify those things in knowledge work, as we were talking about a few minutes ago, so if you do computer programming or build websites or do graphic design or understand human resources or do customer service or sales, I mean, those are all things that are highly transferable. So if you've been in banking and now banks are struggling and so a lot of people have been let go, you can identify skills that would have application in real estate, in the medical environment, in retail, construction. So you ought to be able to not be pigeonholed in a particular industry, but identify how would what I do translate to a new field or profession. And that's true no matter what it is. I mean, I see a lot of school teachers who are coming out of teaching and saying, oh, my goodness, the classroom has changed. This is not what I signed up for. I don't want to do that anymore. Well, we go back to the kind of core values or competencies of, gee, you like to engage with people. You like to be encourage others. You like to persuade, motivate, instruct. Wow. Those skills have application in a whole lot of different places. You may be able to go in and do in-house training programs in a company where you have adults who are motivated and do want to change and be better. You might work with homeschoolers because that's a different kind of environment, a different kind of subset. You may be responsible for five children of IBM executives and live in Acapulco. I mean, there's always ways to take clear areas of competence and find 20 new possibilities for application.
You mentioned the teachers. I wanted to ask you a little bit about higher education. That obviously has become very expensive. We're part of course, the University of Northwestern here, so we affirm education. But what are some of your thoughts about how people should approach it today?
I just did a revision of 48 Days to the Work You Love, and one entire chapter is brand new. It's titled, Yes, I Do Have an Education, because we're seeing that companies and the real-life workplace is responding to people who have skills that may have been gained by sitting in a classroom, but they may have been gained in other ways as well. So we have to be open to the idea that education is more than just reciting back on a test what was in a textbook. I mean, when my oldest son graduated from high school, we allowed him to go to Boulder, Colorado, where he trained to race professionally with the Olympic racing team, bicycles. He then went to the Netherlands, where he was on the Dutch national racing team for a couple years. And people, knowing my background in academics, said, you know, aren't you concerned about Kevin not being in college? And I said, well, you know, he may choose to go to college at some point, but right now he's too busy getting an education. I mean, how could you weigh the value of traveling internationally, being in those kind of situations, as not having as much value as sitting in a seat somewhere in a classroom? Now, again, I'm a big supporter of traditional education degrees and all that. I have plenty of those of my own, but we have to be careful about just assuming, and here's the real danger, Neil, that is the assumption that if I just did get a degree, then the world is going to be the path to my door. I'm going to have that $80,000 a year starting job with benefits. That is where a whole lot of people are running into major disappointment. That's not necessarily what companies are looking for in today's market.
Which reminds me of one of our callers left a message, said, talk to recent grads. How can they respond when someone asks, so what are you going to do? I mean, and that's, you know, that's probably happens, and we probably as parents do that more than we should. But what's your advice to the grad who's not sure yet?
And that happens a lot. You know, I have parents call me, oh, my goodness, my son just graduated from school, still doesn't know what he wants to do. My daughter is 23. She's had 6 different jobs. Can you help him? I say, sure, I'd be happy to. Have him call me in 10 years. And I say that in jest, but really the value of those early years in our career is one of continuing clarification. So don't be too concerned about being on the wrong path. Just make sure you're engaged in a variety of things, and the clarification is an ongoing process. I mean, I've been involved in the game a whole lot of years, Neil. I'm still adjusting, refining. I'm a candidate to do things now that I was not a candidate for 10 years ago. Even though my primary roles as writer, speaker, coach have not changed dramatically, I'm doing things today I could not have envisioned even 5 years ago. And that's the challenge. This is an ongoing process, and I want people to enjoy the journey, not cringe because it is changing.
Dan, you mentioned you just updated the book, 48 Days to the Work You Love. I wanted to ask, is 48 days still the right amount of time?
Oh, it is. I'm still a big believer in that. That was that came up originally just as an encouragement to people to not get stuck in procrastination and indecision, but rather have an identified time. And I think 48 days is enough, and it was then, it certainly is now, to assess where am I, get the advice and opinion of other brilliant people, identify your best options, do a little bit more research, choose the best one and act. And that's a process that can be gone through, whether it's deciding, you know, where to go to college, what to major in, you know, what church to go to, where to live, what new job to take or to get a new job, period, or to start a business. I mean, 48 days, yeah, that's still a reasonable time frame to get us out of this long-term indecision that cripples so many people.
Do we need a mentor, a coach, or can our spouse do this? Or, help us on, getting to the path of where we want to be going in terms of our passions and our dreams?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I have been you know, I've done very well as a coach. I love the process. I engage coaches myself for any area of my life where I want rapid improvement. Does that mean that that's the only place that I get, you know, an education or learn other things and better? No, not at all. I mean, I learn things from my next-door neighbor, you know, who works for the utility company. You know, I learn things from my granddaughters just by walking around and seeing things through their eyes that I would otherwise miss. So the real question is being open, recognizing this is an ongoing process, being open to new insights wherever those come. There's a term called reticular activator. And in essence, it's this: if I buy my wife a red Volvo four-door today, guess what? Tomorrow I'm going to see about six of those right here in my hometown. I'm going to think, did everybody go out yesterday and buy those? No, they were there all along, but it wasn't on my radar. So when we open ourselves up to new insights, we want to come up with ideas that we could turn into income generators, all of a sudden we start to get a flood of that because we've set our mind to expect it.
Got a couple minutes left, about 90 seconds or so. I know that one of your key areas is helping us become all that God designed us to be. Just maybe say a word about of encouragement that, you know, God hasn't forgotten us in the midst of our job unemployment, if that's the case.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all. Nobody's forgotten. Nobody's worthless. Everybody has unique value. God gifts us all in amazing ways. But it's our challenge to figure out what that is. You know, get the input of other people. Read, stretch your thinking, and you'll discover more and more, you know, what it is that you do really well. So there's a lot of people who can be our teachers, mentors, but be confident there's something that you have of value to offer the world, and the world's going to be left short if you don't share it.
Good words today. Encouragement, as always, from Dan Miller, president of 48 Days, LLC. Author, a speaker, a coach, and you can find out more about the resources, the conferences, seminars. He's got the podcast regularly. All that's available online at 48days.com, 48days.com. The book, 48 Days to the Work You Love, just updated, No More Dreaded Mondays, and Wisdom Meets Passion. And Dan, when he's not talking to us or others, he's hanging out with a dozen grandchildren or so. So.
I am indeed. Yeah. They come and go. It's a thrill.
Well, blessings to you, Dan. Thanks so much for your encouragement today. I always enjoy talking with you and reminding us that God has gifted us, and we want to fulfill His plans and purposes as well.
Absolutely. It's been my pleasure to be your guest. Neil, thank you.
Dan Miller here on Connecting Faith. If you missed part of the show today or maybe want to pass it on to a friend, you know, all our podcasts are easily shareable. We recommend that. You can go to myfaithradio.com and click on the Connecting Faith show page to hear today's show or others in the archive. And we'd love to have you pass it on to a friend. By the way, coming up on today's Live the Promise, Susie Larson is welcoming back Andy Crouch. He's going to talk about Playing God, his latest book, which is significant. You'll want to listen for that coming up today at 3 on Live the Promise.